Yet it is too imprecise to say merely that Christian ethics spring from God's gift in Jesus Christ. What is the logic of this springing? What is it about God's gift that carries the promise of ethical illumination with it? We shall argue for the theological proposition that Christian ethics depends upon the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Oliver O'Donovan, Resurrection and Moral Order. In the quote above, Oliver O'Donovan, arguably the most significant evangelical ethicist of our day, notes the importance of grounding Christian ethics not merely in the gift of Christ, but in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Thus, for any discussion concerning the gospel and its relationship to Christian living, it is the resurrection of Christ that anchors the Christian's calling and initiates meaningful service in God's world. As 1 Corinthians chapter 2 insists, Christ and Him crucified changes nothing without Christ, the resurrected Lord. It is precisely because of Christ's resurrection that the virgin birth, sinless life, and death on the cross enthrone the carpenter from Nazareth as the King of creation, who calls His people to walk in His way. But what does it mean to walk in the way of Christ? And why does it matter for Christian vocation? In Scripture, the way is a mega metaphor signifying the fact that God's lordship should shape and direct the totality of Christian living. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, Moses signals the importance of way for God's people when he summarizes God's ultimate expectations for them, and includes way alongside other dominant biblical imperatives, such as fear the Lord, and love for God with all one's heart and all your soul. He writes, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you, except to fear the Lord your God by walking in all His ways, to love Him and to worship the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul?" In other words, Moses appears to include walking in God's ways alongside the most important commandments in Scripture, including the Great Commandment. As the biblical story continues, way only increases in prominence. It is prominent in Psalm 1 and 119, and in Proverbs chapters 1 through 9, especially 4 and 9. It is found throughout the prophets who scold God's people for neglecting the ways of the Lord. We see it employed in the Gospels when John the Baptist prepares the way of the Lord. And Jesus declares that He is the way, John chapter 14, verse 6. It continues in Acts chapter 9, verse 2, when Christians are called people of the way, and when Paul urges Christians to live worthy of the calling you have received, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. In light of the prominence of way language in the Bible, it is not surprising that there is a strong link between the gospel and a Christian's way in this world. Because of the Lord's crucifixion and resurrection, we are now set free to bring all of life under submission to His lordship, to shape and direct all of our activities in light of His word. In the rest of this chapter, we will explore how this link between gospel and way relates to Christian vocation. We begin by defining gospel.